This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Doug Hamilton with Ashley Thornburg in our Fargo studio, and joining us in our Bismarck studio, Sue Balcom. It's time for Main Street Eats.
Sue, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You want to talk about Christmas traditions best forgotten? I presume there's a fruitcake in there somewhere.
Oh, no. You guys, I love fruitcake.
I do, too.
Oh, my gosh. Nobody ever gives fruitcake anymore. I'm really disappointed.
Yeah, you still see them in the store. And yes, but after Christmas, too.
Then their door stops. Not in the store. Their door stops, yes. But, you know, if you make your own, they're really, really good. Lots of rum or something, brandy on the top of them. But
that makes sense.
There are Christmas traditions, though, that in my mind should really be left behind and forgotten. You know, simply.
Like spending too much money on gifts?
Well, no, like lighting real candles on a real Christmas tree in your living room and hoping to God that you don't burn your house down.
Yeah, I mean, who did that? Is that just something that was idealized in prints from the 19th century? Did people actually do that?
They did do that before electricity, because I actually have some candle holders that clip onto the tree with these little candles, and people have told me stories about how their dad would light them, and they would hurry up and and then hurry up, take the tree and run it out and throw it in a snowbank before burn the house down.
Yes, or maybe just light it for that that one hymn and then blow them out real quick.
Totally, because I mean, think about the danger there.
Yeah. So. This is before house insurance, probably.
Oh, right. And think of the old papers and just things, you know, wallpaper and things they had in those houses back
then.
Well,
I go back to the old, you know, incandescent bulbs that you put on a Christmas tree. Those things got hot, too. And now we've got LED, so everything's kind of cooled down.
Right. And trees aren't real anymore, are they?
Well, mine isn't. But I understand other people still actually put a real tree up, Sue.
I love real trees, and I love the smell of it all, but some days I'm like, nobody sees it but me anyway, so I have a Grinch tree at my house. I love the Grinch. So.
Well, you can buy these LED lights for trees that look like flickering candles, too.
Oh, there you go. See, now that would be my advice. Nix the real candles, get some fake ones, and then we'll move on to things like julebakken, which is Norwegian, even though we did it in Gackle, where I grew up. It was a tradition on Christmas Eve, after everybody was done opening gifts, that, you know, like my boyfriend would come throw stones at my window, and he's like, it's time to go. And we would drive around to these farmhouses in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of winter, and drink.
I now, don't believe you, Sue.
Now, that, to me, like, back then, maybe it wasn't that dangerous on the roads, but I'm thinking that's something we probably shouldn't be encouraging at Christmas time anymore.
So you just bop from place to place and have a sip? Is that it?
Yes.
So
and
you're booze cruising is what you're doing.
Yes. You know what the Germans drink at the holidays, too, by the way.
Isn't that called a crop tour in other times
of
the year?
A crop tour, yes. Hochzeitschnaps, though. See? You got to have that 190. And, you know, people would have treats and things, but I'm just like, that is so weird.
Yeah.
The roots of this julebakken are Norwegian, and it was a pre-Christian pagan ritual that was like horrible, about like killing goats for foods, and then the goats came back to life. And I mean, it's really morbid, and I don't know why we ever started doing it, but yes, that's another one of those Christmas traditions we could probably do without.
Well, ammonia cookies is on this list.
Oh,
you
yeah.
sent us.
Have you guys ever seen a recipe for ammonia cookies?
I would remember it if I had, I think.
My aunt gave me a recipe, and I was going to make it one year with Mr. Clean, and it was a good thing that I didn't, because that's not what they're talking about when they talk about ammonia. Apparently, it comes in powder form, and it is something that you can use to make your cookies rise like baking powder. But oh my gosh, you guys, your whole house smells like ammonia while they're baking, and your eyes are watering, and I'm thinking, yeah, there's got to be a better sugar cookie recipe out there, don't you think?
Does this come from a time when maybe baking soda was more expensive than ammonia?
I mean,
why?
I have no idea. And you know, ammonia is really hard to find.
Thankfully,
but,
yeah.
Yes, but if anybody out there is listening and they've ever come across a recipe, just please don't use Mr. Clean in that recipe, okay? Call me. I'll tell you where to find ammonia.
So have you had ammonia cookies?
Yes. My aunt made them all the time.
And they taste good, I take it?
Well, they They taste okay.
Your aunt isn't listening, I take it.
No. God rest her soul. Well, maybe she is listening. I don't know. But they have they're really a crisp cookie, so they were easy to decorate. And I think she was just trying to keep tradition there with those ammonia cookies. But, oh, my gosh, I've long since given that up.
That seems like a cookie that you sort of start serving when guests
you want
have
guests to go home.
They're welcome. Yeah. Like, oh, hey, I got some ludicrous.
Just take the wrapper off the cookie plate and let that aroma.
Oh, my God.
Then we're going to go light some candles on a real tree.
And then everybody's going to run for the door for sure. Oof-da. But if you hear a noise outside the door and someone comes a knocking and a rattling chains, here comes Beelzebub, which is one of those Christmas traditions that really, seriously, I can't believe we ever picked that up and brought it from the old country.
Well, I never heard of that when I was a kid growing up, but I wasn't in your part of the world. So.
Well, and the funniest thing is that in the North Dakota Living magazine for December, Josh Kramer, I interviewed his grandmother down in Linton for one of the books that I did, and he writes about this tradition. And what happens is that, like Adeline Mock said, that, you know, this Santa Claus would come into their house, and this person would come with him dressed in like sheepskins, a big old fuzzy cap, and he'd have chains and belts and scare these kids into reciting their Christmas verses and then do things like, rattle the chains, wrestle guys down to the floor, throw candy on the floor so you'd have to run after it and stuff. But this was kind of a precursor to like Santa Claus.
Anti-Santa. Huh?
Yeah. Right. Kind of like Krampus or something.
Yeah. Right. And I've never seen that movie, but now that you mention it, this guy comes with a lot of names. Belznickel, Belzebach, Beelzebub, you know, from every different Northern European country, he kind of just had a little bit of a different name.
You know, they don't get any sunshine in the Northern European countries during those months. You can see how that would give rise to some really terrible ideas.
Well, I wonder if this wasn't one of those inspirations for Theodore Geisel, Dr. Seuss, you know, with the Grinch.
Oh, gosh darn it. I love the Grinch. I hope not. but you never know, because this is one of those things that you're just like, what the heck? Where would this come from? You know, Christmas is kind of like a Christian holiday, and this didn't sound very generous or Christian to me to have this scary dude come in, you know. And like I said, that there are people probably still have chain marks on their doors from when this guy came rattling his chains and knocking against the door.
Well, this is just to acknowledge that Sue Balcom and her husband won't have lit candles on their real tree. They won't be opening the door for any strange knocks. They won't be serving ammonia cookies. So Merry Christmas, Sue.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you all.
What's happening is next.